This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the last chapter of the last letter of his life, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." This is the word of the Lord. Today is the festival of Saint Mark, who certainly must be considered to be a patron saint of professional church workers. As we gather here, and certainly what is a very exciting week for you folks, a number of you will receive assignments and calls within the next 7 days. I thought it might be interesting for us to think about what is it to be useful for ministry? Because after all, isn't that what an assignment or a call is? Isn't it the Lord of the church saying through his church to you, you are useful for ministry? Interesting that Paul uses the word ministry, diakonia, not the office, but the service that is rendered, not a static kind of thing, position, but a dynamic combination of the speaking and the acting of Jesus Christ, the exercise of his authority. And I find it interesting that Mark, the gospel writer, the evangelist, of the 7 last monumental words or expressions that Jesus Christ speaks from the cross, he chooses to record only one of those, which is certainly a profound combination of Jesus speaking and acting. My God, why have you forsaken me? But what I'd like to do is to look through a couple of passages in the New Testament that reference John Mark and have us together think this day, how does God form us so that we might be useful for ministry? In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are off on their first missionary journey, and they, Paul and Barnabas, we read, had John, that is John Mark, to assist them. Again, an interesting word for ministry, assist, hooper 18. It is the under-rower. It is the one who is charged with doing nothing else but listening to the beat of the captain. You certainly, when you row in that situation, you certainly row by faith and not by sight, because your back is to your destination. The drum beats, you pull the oar. The same term for ministry is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul writes, this is how one should regard us, as under rowers, as servants of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. And certainly John Mark, for one reason or another, we don't know, it's silent there. We only have the reaction of Paul later on. But he fell short of being trustworthy. The noise within him or the noise around him or both drowned out the beat of the captain's drum. And we read that shortly into this missionary journey, John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Now, one of my favorite characters in the New Testament is Barnabas. He's the son of encouragement. He's always out there looking for those stray puppies, you know, and kind of bringing them in and encourage them along and helping them to become all that God has created and gifted and called them to be. And so when it's time to go back and visit those churches that they formed during their first missionary journey, we read in Acts chapter 15 that Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed. I was mentioning to one of the students downstairs before we came up today, I think one of the biggest challenges I found in ministry is to manage yourself. You know, God gives you the words, He gives you the power of the Spirit, He gives you the marvelous sacraments, all the tools you need. But you have an incredible freedom. You can set your calendar. Or on the other hand, you can freely allow other people to set your calendar for you. There's so many beats that you can dance to in this ministry. To be able to listen to the beat of the captain. To be an under rower for him. That's a challenge. And just as much as you this morning, when I spoke those words, I've sinned against God and against other people by my thoughts, my words, and my deeds. I haven't been by far the world's greatest under rower, probably not even in the top 50%. And there was Mark. But something happens, and again, we have the silence of Scripture, but we come toward the end of the ministry, and we have the words of Paul, which we read, which Brother Yeager read for you, that somehow or another, Paul's opinion of Mark had changed. And in the last chapter of his last letter, he says, bring this fellow along. He is useful to me for ministry. And by the way, Peter, who, as we know from at least church history, was the giver of Mark's gospel, Mark being the interpreter, Peter says these words, stand firm in it, that is the true grace of God. She who was at Babylon, that is the church at Rome, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. So here's this Mark who failed so dramatically and miserably, who now is ushered back into the fellowship of Paul, and is ushered as well back into the communion with Peter, to the point where he is the one who is going to write Peter's gospel, the Gospel of Mark. Interesting. I found it fascinating that on the festival of Mark, of St. Mark, we have a gospel lesson that many, many think Mark probably didn't even write. I find it fascinating that the ancient accounts, the manuscripts and everything seem to confirm that the gospel ends with verse 8. It's almost like a seventh chord, you know, bum, bum, bum. How's it going to end? I'll read it for you. It says, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he, that is Jesus, is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Bum, bum, bum. Don't we want bum? But I find this to be a very satisfying ending. Because you know what? As we're being formed to be useful tools, ministry is a messy thing. It is a lifelong transformative process. By the word deed of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for us and those whom you serve, and which we will model over and over again in our lives as we not only proclaim it, but we receive it. As one writer has said, as we model being one beggar telling another beggar or beggars whom we serve where to find bread. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, on this day of the patron saint of professional church workers, God be praised that we're in a lifelong formative process by the one crucified and risen for us. As it says in the hymn on Galilee's high mountain, a mission and witness hymn, which is what you go forth to do and to be. His strength within my weakness will make me bold to say how his redeeming power transforms my stubborn clay. Isn't that a great line? My stubborn clay. His touch of fire ignites me. With courage I am sent, my tongue tied, silence broken, with grace made eloquent. God bless you as you go forth, useful for ministry, in his name and for his glory. Amen.